show. Podcast Radio, she's a nerd, he's a nerd, talking about what we know. New Podcast Radio, we're all nerds, buckle up, cause here we go. New Podcast Radio, welcome everybody to the Nerd Podcast Radio. Welcome everybody to the Nerd Podcast Radio.
Nerd Podcast Radio, your nerd home away from home.
Welcome to Nerd Podcast Radio. I'm your host, Super Big and Brian. I'm joined by David Theobald III.
Hello, nurse.
And I'm also joined by Kirstie Smurferka.
Hola.
And all right, so I want to talk about hacking today. I came up with this idea. I thought it would be great. And
you watched the Angelina Jolie movie, didn't you?
I told Erica that hackers was going to be a big part of it.
And I do enjoy that show.
Johnny Lee Miller, Angelina Jolie, Matthew Lillard. Gotta love it.
I mean, yeah, it is a good movie. However, hacking math.
And I can't really do what she said justice, but I will do my best. Basically, after I said that, she goes, but I want to talk about Dune.
Yeah, that is what I said. I want to talk about Dune.
The spice must flow.
And then Brian said, but I haven't seen Dune. And I said, why not? You've had a week.
To be fair, I haven't seen Dune yet either.
What?
But unlike me, David's like, I'm cool to talk about it. I don't care. I'm like,
I do stuff and things and junk.
I have two kids. I work full time, clean a house. Have to take them everywhere, including swim and D&D sessions and everything else. And I fucking made time for Dune, David.
Cool. I don't want to go to the movies by myself.
I actually don't mind that. And normally I'm not a fan. But this is, I saw it with Heather, so I have to watch it with Heather. Because so
drive your ass over here from Texas and I'll go see a goddamn movie with you. Let's go.
You could always come to fucking Texas and go see a goddamn movie.
No, thanks. I'm good. Arizona's kind of pushing it. I don't really want to go that far east.
Yeah. Arizona's not my favorite at all. I don't like Phoenix. I don't know why people like Phoenix.
Because they're dumb? I don't know.
Yeah. So
I
now,
had a lot of fun in Scottsdale once.
Well, Scottsdale's different. That's like a tourist town.
There was this bar there named Gilligan's that had a thing called the Wheel of Fear Factor. I watched someone eat an entire stick of butter.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's just gross.
I mean, I've seen someone do it too. It doesn't mean it's not disgusting.
I can give you a little bit of hint on dating that story though. Fear Factor was still on TV at the time.
I believe it.
Rowan, when she was a baby, she would still do it now if we let her. But when she was a baby, she would eat an entire tub of sour cream.
Ooh.
Just with a spoon. I got pictures of it. She would still do it. She loves sour cream. When you don't want to, when you're trying to get her to eat vegetables and them, you just give her sour cream to dip them in and she'll eat them. It's weird. I know.
Yeah, that is. So, Brian wanted to talk about hackers. Erica wanted to talk about Dune.
We could talk about hackers, we could talk about Dune, but I came up with a compromise. We haven't talked about music in a while. So, we talked about this before we recorded, but I'm going to let the impartial person decide. And whatever they decide, we'll go with. So we're going to call Harry Dresden's dog and ask what we're going to talk about.
I hate you so much right now, Brian.
No, David gets to pick.
Well, I mean, I could pick, but first.
But first, we're going to play everybody's favorite game, What's Nerdy With You, where we all talk about the nerdiest thing we've done in the last 2 weeks, and we vote using the patented Mike Myler widget system.
Ha ha. So you're not the only one that gets to do that.
That was great.
What?
I really appreciated that. That was so smooth, David.
Ah, yes.
I'm going to write your podcast job description as cutting
master of segues.
But first, yeah, master of segues.
Brian, I got a question for you. How long did it take me to get that down? Where I don't even have to think about it anymore. Somebody just has to say "but first" and it pops in my fucking
first
head.
First time you did it, I don't think there was like any adjustment at all. I think you just started saying it perfectly right away.
There wasn't a script either. You just kept doing it the same way every time.
Yeah, I was like, when did this become a thing?
My favorite thing about it is there's never been a script, but if one of us does it instead of you, you always mm-hmm. tell us we did it wrong, and there's no script.
Yep.
Just because there's no script doesn't mean you don't do it wrong.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
I'm going to go first. I went to...
Brian, what's been nerdy with you?
I went to a comic book store, and I got a comic book for the first time in a long time. Actually, I got a Marvel comic book for the first time in a long time, because I'm interested in reading this new Weapon X-Men storyline where Jean Grey forms an army of Wolverines.
All right.
Do either of you remember, and I apologize, I'm gonna add some spoilers for this storyline for listeners who may read comics, so just kind of skip ahead a little bit if you don't want this spoiled, but...
You've been warned.
If you're familiar with X-Men in the 90s, there was a supervillain named Onslaught, and it was a combination of Magneto and Professor X.
The name's familiar. I don't know anything about the story.
It was like this crazy giant Magneto with like crazy 90s Magneto armor. It was so 90s. But so
I vaguely remember this, yes.
Marvel did a comic that called Original X-Men, where Jean Grey from an alternate universe goes to a younger version of the X-Men and sends them to another universe where mm-hmm. a Jean Grey is... like corrupted by the Phoenix Force, but she's lying, and she sends them to go after this Jean Grey, and apparently this Jean Grey has brainwashed the entire world and annihilated any threats, and when the younger X-Men confront her, Jean Grey goes, "You're not me. I knew it right away." And all of a sudden it turns into Onslaught, and Onslaught is like this big ass Marvel X-Men villain that hasn't been around in years. And at the end, they don't defeat Onslaught, but they get Onslaught to leave to go to another universe. And the Jean Grey takes the young X-Men back and wipes their minds so they don't remember doing it. And her partner shows up and is like, "Why'd you send them off?" And it's like, because they're young. They shouldn't have to deal with this. Besides, they're not ready to deal with this. We need something else. We need an army. We need an army of people who are the best at what they do. And it pans over, and it's freaking Wolverine from X-Men Apocalypse. Yeah. And they're getting like all the different Wolverines from the different alternate universes to go after Onslaught. So I got Weapon X-Men.
Okay.
And it feels cool. Like they're really doing a nostalgia trip with comics right now, and getting to see some of those 90s storylines coming back is cool. And I think they're doing it because they're going to bring the X-Men into the MCU, and they want the people who read X-Men in the 90s to get excited about X-Men again.
Probably. I would assume so, yes.
Speaking of X-Men, because I know you've always been a big fan back then, did mm-hmm. you know Cyclops is a bad guy now?
No, I didn't know he was a bad guy.
Yeah, he's a bad guy now. He's like basically the replacement for Magneto. He's a full-on villain.
What happened to Jean Grey for him to be a villain?
I'm not sure. I haven't read the comics. I just know that Cyclops is a villain now.
Interesting. Okay.
Neat.
Boy, he killed Professor X. I mean, he's a super like bad guy. But like mm-hmm. the whole X-Men versus Avengers thing is what caused, and the fall of X is what has turned Scott into a bad guy. Like he got taken over by the Phoenix Force, and yeah, just all sorts of crazy storylines. I guess the Phoenix Force split into five parts, and a bunch of people all over the world got powered by it. There's all sorts of crazy things.
Weird. Okay.
I don't know what happened to Jean Grey in the storyline. Comics are more complicated than they were when I was a kid. And they were complicated.
And that's saying something.
Yeah. Yeah. They've always been relatively complicated.
So, David, what was nerdy with you?
Oh, bunch of things. I started playing some new games lately. I've joined the ranks of soldiers from Super Earth fighting for democracy.
So
I started playing Helldivers 2.
Party?
I started playing Helldivers 2.
Sorry, I thought it was funny.
Yes, it was good.
Thank you.
It was quite good. Yes, very funny. Great game. A lot of fun. Co-op. It's great to have people to play with.
My brother started playing that. He's like, "I think you would like it. You should play with me."
Oh, it's like, great. Maybe. It's fun. It's fun. It's almost like Starship Troopers, the game, when you're fighting the bugs. It's great.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Well, because it's friendly fire is always on, so you really gotta be careful where you're pointing that thing.
All right.
Yeah, it's chaotic and it's fun, and it's a real time war game. So there's actual stats being involved based on all the people playing and what's going on the planets where they're currently fighting at.
Mm-hmm.
And the war is ongoing, and they just introduced mech suits. Yeah, it's getting real.
It does sound pretty cool.
It's pretty fun. PS5 and PC exclusive at the moment, but
yeah,
which is fun.
I have a PS5, and so does my brother. That's why perfect. I was like, hey,
crossplay. And then I finished all the currently available content for Suicide Squad: Kill the Justice League.
All right, and
it's fun. I no idea when the next content dump's gonna come out, but we'll see.
I remember last week you were saying you really like it.
I do. It's a fun game. It's just, it's okay. I didn't realize I was 3/4 of the way through it when I said that last week. So it was, yeah, there wasn't as much. And now all that's left to do now is basically playing another MMO, running around grinding, which gets dull after a while. So I'm waiting for new content.
Yeah, I wish there was new content for Baldur's Gate already. I've played through it 4 times now. I'm just like, how many more times can I choose something I didn't choose before?
I have no idea. They'll probably use the same engine and just put it in a different setting and make the next game something happen.
That would be
and,
fantastic.
Yeah, go see what Waterdeep's like. Go check out go explore more of the Underdark. Do the Wizard's Tower, where you actually have to go inside the multi-level Wizard's Tower that is bigger on the inside.
Do you think that the layoffs at Wizards are going to affect new content for games? Because I understand that there's some crazy stuff going on with their licenses.
I don't know. I don't know enough about what's going on. I haven't been paying close enough attention to what's going on to really know too much about it. So
I've seen snippets of it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm doing an ostrich on it. I just don't want to know. I just
I'm kind of in the same boat.
Waiting for stuff to come out.
Yeah. Oh, more news on the Pathfinder Society front. If you're in Southern California and like playing First Edition, there is a new venture team that is going to be heading up First Edition play at the Strategicon game conventions. Myself and Grant Gaines are going to be running First Edition slots.
Neat.
Nice. Very nice.
That'll be popular.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of interest.
You know, what's weird is just recently a few people have reached out to me asking if I know of any second edition games that are running in the LA area. And I'm like,
no, there's tons of
let
them.
Me give you John and A's contact information.
Yeah. There's an entire Discord server for it. It's crazy.
That's can you cool. send me a link to that so I can send it to people?
Sure.
Cool. First edition games. That's cool.
No, for us old fogies that don't like second ed.
Are there any you haven't played left?
There's quite a few that I haven't played, but I don't care. I'll just run stuff. I've got no problem doing that. Grant and I did it at the warehouse when we were starting the Long Beach chapter. So it'll be fun. Can't wait.
We're
gonna get some good content. I think we're gonna try and have 9 or 11 tables at this upcoming convention in May. So I'm gonna be busy between fair starting in a couple weeks and ooh, doggy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's my nerdy stuff. Erica, what about you? What have you been doing that's nerdy?
I did a couple things.
I mean, obviously, you went and saw Dune.
Yeah, that wasn't one of them.
I disagree, but okay.
Well, no, it is a nerdy thing I did. It just wasn't in the three that I was thinking of. So the first one has to do with Dune. So before the movie came out, the Thursday before the movie came out, was in the office, and some of the girls on my team, so I was on like one side of the queue, like room area, and they were like on the other side, and I thought I heard one of them say Dune, and I immediately shuffled my ass right on over there. Exactly. I went, Dune today.
Someone say Dune?
Yeah, exactly. And anyways, I was like, Dune, and they were like, oh, yeah, we're talking about it coming out. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go see it tomorrow. And they were like, oh, okay. They're like, we're going to go see it too. I saw the first one, but it was kind of confusing. And I was like, what do you want to know?
Ask me your questions.
And she goes, oh. And I was like, yeah, I've read the books a few times. And I actually have the Bene Gesserit prayer on my wall in my living room. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, so what do you want to know?
It came out a little strong there, Erica. Just a little
bit. It did. Just a little strong.
Just a little bit.
But they're on my team, so they know how weird I am.
Just saying. That was
really strong. I've been meaning to talk to you, David, about Erica being on the podcast. I mean, she's just not nerdy enough to be here.
She has her moments.
So
why would you want me to be on the show? I'm not a nerd.
Well, to quote Treebeard, I mean, you are very small. Perhaps you're right.
So anyways, I explained some things to them and I went over like why there aren't any computers and what Mentats are and the political shifts that were happening on how they ended up on Arrakis and why spice was important and all these other things.
Started going over star charts and was like, so this planet over here.
So anyways, I explained
deep background histories of the houses.
No, I didn't get, I did not get Cimmerillion deep. Okay, I didn't. I tried to keep it very high level, just answer their questions, put things in place for them.
My God.
And anyway, so I finished, and they weren't freaked out or anything. Like I said, they're used to my nerdiness. And Audrey goes, you really are nerdy. And yeah. I went, yeah, but I'm not like that kind of nerdy. And she goes, No, you're not like the girl, oh, I'm different kind of nerdy that you see in like the movies. She goes, no, you're an OG nerd. Like you live and breathe this. And I'm like, yeah, I do. So that was the first step
is admitting it.
Well, I didn't know until Brian told me.
As I said, the first step is admitting it.
Well, I'm fully on the admittance bandwagon, if you will. I've come to grips with it.
Congratulations. You've taken your first steps to the larger world.
So the second thing I did was the Labyrinth went back to theaters for one night only. So I took my girls and my husband and we went and watched the Labyrinth on the big screen and it was beautiful. And amazing, and I loved it.
Get to see that bulge in all its glory.
All its glory, and you know the songs, and it's just a funny movie. It's just a funny movie. And the guy, I did not realize that. I kind of thought it might be the first time he had ever seen it, but the guy that was sitting next to me, because the theater was packed full.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And but the guy that was sitting next to me, when the worm goes, "No, I said hello, but that's close enough." He just started cracking up, and I was like, oh, okay. And then later when like the hat goes, oh, it's so stimulating being your hat. He just started dying again.
Yeah, and he was probably stoned as fuck.
I don't know. He was there with his girlfriend. He was there with his girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to call anybody out, but yeah, probably.
And then, like, when the guys flip over the tiles and they're yelling, they're like, "Your mother's a freaking aardvark." I thought he was gonna be unable to breathe for the next 5 minutes. He was laughing so hard.
He was stoned as fuck. He probably taking an edible. He and his girl were probably on edibles and stoned as fuck.
No idea.
I mean, if you're gonna go see Labyrinth, why wouldn't you? That's the way to do it.
Because I had kids. Sorry. That's why, David. So
that's why you don't take them.
No, I couldn't do that to my children. Deprive them of the privilege of seeing David Bowie on the big screen? Are you nuts?
No. You make a fair point. Never mind. Withdrawn.
So
the three main characters in Labyrinth.
Huh?
And David Bowie and what was the name of the girl?
Sarah
and David Bowie's codpiece.
Yep.
Yes. And
I believe the codpiece got top billing.
So, anyways, the movie ends. And the guy was talking to his girlfriend. He goes, "Oh, that was actually a really good movie." And I turned, I was like, "Is this the first time you've seen it?" He's like, "Yeah, I'd never seen it before, but it's one of her favorites." And I was like, "Well, you at least saw it in a big theater when you saw it the first time. So good for you, man." Oh,
that's great.
So that was the second nerdy thing. And then the third nerdy thing I was going to bring up was I am officially 1 week ahead on the books that I've read this year. I've read a book a week.
Wow. That's awesome.
So I think I'm on my 12th book now.
That's very well done. That's incredible.
And they're not like short little books either. Like, I just finished The Name of the Wind.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, Name of the Wind was good.
Not a short book.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, I have an honorable mention.
I've
read it
in paper and listened to it.
Yeah.
Nice. I have an honorable mention for Nerdy Thing. I'm taking my mom to see the Pirates of Penzance in theater tomorrow.
Ooh.
Fully
staged, full orchestra. Oh, it's going to be great.
Have you seen... Never mind. Go ahead.
Have I seen what?
I can't think of it. I'll think of it later.
Okay. Well,
it's a movie about them, and I can't think of what it's called. It was really good.
Okay. It's time for voting, so you have a
four widgets,
Brian. You go first.
I am going to give 3 to Erica and 1 to David.
All right.
Because of reasons that will become evident after we're done with the game.
Well, all right, then. I, myself, am also going to give 3 to Erica and then 1 to Brian, because Erica scares me, and she always gets my votes.
I have video evidence that that's not true. You have totally voted against her before.
I know he has. He's just sucking up. And that's all right, because I got the widgets. So, with that, Brian, you get 1. David, you get 3.
Hey.
I think it's cool you're doing a first edition tables.
Thank you.
You are welcome, sir.
So where does that leave us, Brian? Were you keeping score?
Oh, Erica won the hell out of it. Well, yay. No, she beat you by 1. You got 5, she got 6, I got 1.
All right, well done, Erica.
So
you got 2, because David gave you 1 and I gave you 1.
Oh, I didn't mark off that one. Okay, well then, 13 widgets. Wait.
12.
There should be 12. Well, I got 6.
I have 2.
I have 6. 11 have plus 2. So David had 4, because you gave him 1, and then...
And she gave me 4.
She gave
me 3. That's 4.
Yeah.
Come on, Matt. You can't even, Brian. Come on, Brian. You can't even, Matt.
And I'm the one that took the edible.
No, you're not. You're not the only one.
I know I'm never the only one.
I'm about to go walk out of the room and go grab a bottle of whiskey is what I'm going to do.
what's stopping you?
All right. So I pitched some episode ideas.
Oh, right. We're going to have an argument.
We're going to let David decide. David's the impartial one. The argument is between me and Erica.
Yes. So, yes.
But I have another idea to pitch.
Well, I paid for the full 5 minutes, so go ahead and pitch.
Trivia.
No, I don't want to do trivia.
Because, you know, we had the episode about rules. And in that episode, we talked about how people don't like to play games with Brian. And that's one of them. And
I don't mind playing.
I thought
trivia.
It would be really that's cool to explore like. That in an episode.
No. See, I don't mind playing trivia with you. I don't like playing chess. I don't like playing Scrabble with you.
No one will play Star Wars Trivial Pursuit with me.
Well, yeah, David.
I just wanted to see what kind of trivia questions Erica would ask about things like Dune.
Look, I played the last time I got to play a game of that, I went 3rd and no one else got a turn.
I mean, it's the compromise. It allows everybody to have their topic because they can ask any question they want. And then we can talk about the questions.
I'm still kind of leaning towards
a podcast host. You have to think of questions already.
I'm still kind of leaning towards Dune.
We can talk about the books. We don't have to talk about the movie.
We can talk about the movie. I mean, it's
I haven't seen the new movie yet, so I don't want to talk about it because I haven't seen it yet.
Neither of you have seen the movie yet.
That's true.
I'm the only one. I can't have a conversation with myself.
Haven't read the book, so I just know stuff. Like, I know what the Butlerian Jihad is. I know that's, like, the limit of my knowledge.
All right, so the choices were between trivia,
yeah.
Which...
Music. Dune and hacking.
Dune and hacking. Well, you know what? Brian was right. If we do trivia, then we can all just ask questions about whatever we want to talk about. So let's do trivia.
So my trivia.
I'll ask you questions about Dune. How's that?
I had a really great idea to make Erica like this game.
Okay.
So David, my first question is for you.
Okay.
Who's Erica's favorite musical artist?
Oh fuck me.
It's already come up in this episode.
I know. Is it Bowie?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay.
So now that we'll frame this in a way that's interesting, so it's not just us all going, let's think of questions. Now we ask Erica, so Erica, why is David Bowie your favorite musical artist?
There's a lot of reasons. One, he has an incredibly unique voice. Two, he's very forward, or was very forward thinking, and was always steps ahead of other people. He completely changed the way we look at rock and roll, as it had been previously portrayed, you know. Very stylish, very handsome, just very clever human being.
Reimagined himself in every album.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying. He was always ahead of everything. He was always moving to the next thing.
Did you know that in the early 2000s, he ran an internet company for a very short while?
No, I didn't know that.
It was called BowieNet.
Oh, wait. Yes, I did know that.
Oh, that's funny.
I did know that, actually. Yeah. So...
He was okay. Literally competing with AOL.
Yeah, I get all that, but my argument for greatest of all time is Weird Al Yankovic. He's the only man to have a number one album in all five decades he's been making music.
Mm, yeah, and that's fine, but he's like a Mad Lib to like successful music.
He does he does every style.
But he also he doesn't just do parodies. He also does pastiches, which shows that he's good at coming up with original music too. Mm. You know, it's not just parody music. He's not just filling out a template. And I believe that his rhymes are absolute genius, because anybody who's tried to write a parody of a song knows how hard that is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I make up stuff all the time.
It's been said, you're not truly famous until Weird Al does one of your songs.
But I
then
think
you've made it.
David Bowie and Weird Al Yankovic are leagues apart of each other in categories. they're not comparable artists.
Fair point.
Yeah. But I don't know. I make up stuff all the time. I sing to my girls all the time. One of my favorite songs I sing to Lee is, "You don't really want me to ground you. You don't really want to make you cry. Go to your course right now."
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But how long did it take you? How long did it take you to come up with that, though? That's the question.
Oh, on the spot.
Oh, seconds. I know Erica. That is, yeah, she comes up with those things all the time.
All the time.
Nice.
Erica and I do this thing where we call each other's voicemail and sing songs into our voicemails. We've been doing it for years.
Yeah, that's true.
And what's funny is I'll get a phone call from her at 3 a.m. and I'll pick up the phone and she'll be like, "You weren't supposed to pick up the phone."
Oh, that's good.
And then he has to pick it up 2 more times just to annoy me. So we also do stuff like standing in a gas station parking lot singing and dancing.
I can't say anything. I used to do raves in the parking lot at In-N-Out after anime club nights on when
Tell
I was going
the story,
to college.
Brian.
Oh, well, when we were going to Seattle we were standing in the parking lot and I put music on my phone and then we were just started to dance and then I threw like a crazy dance out like Kevin Smith and in Clerks and both of us and both of our spouses walked up and acted like nothing was unusual at all.
Nice.
Yeah, because they had both gone into the gas station and Brian and I were just chilling. And they came back. They were like, "All right, let's go."
I just loved how not surprised and unplussed they were completely.
I know.
We were basically being Jay and Silent Bob in front of this. I don't think it dawned on either of us that we were doing Jay and Silent Bob until after.
Yeah, no, it didn't.
That's funny. That's good. That's good. Yeah, mine was just someone had a Bluetooth speaker. We started blasting techno music and someone pulled out some glow sticks. We had a little rave in the parking lot after the In-N-Out closed.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, because there was nothing around. It was just this in and out and then next to a bunch of oil fields. There was no one around, so we weren't disturbing anybody.
I don't know how it happened, but I met some people years ago, and they asked me, "Hey, do you want to go play hide and seek in the mall parking lot?" I think I was like 28.
That sounds like fun.
It was. It was really fun. I think everybody was sober, too.
Nice.
You'd think.
Well.
David, your turn.
Right. So, Erica.
Yes.
How high up in the Bene Gesserit do you think you would rise?
Oh.
See,
come on, it had to be a Dune question.
Fun trivia can be fun.
It had to be a Dune question.
It didn't. I did. I never imagined that this game would just be asking each other obscure facts. It was always going to be a fun game. So
I don't think I'd be a Bene Gesserit.
Really? Ooh, yeah. Okay. What do you think you would do in the Dune universe?
Should be a sand trout.
A sand trout?
Because they're short.
Oh my god. See, the Bene Gesserit come off very cold-hearted to me, so I don't think that I would be a Bene Gesserit. I'd probably be one of the doctors.
Okay.
I would say that'd probably be what I would be.
Neat. Noble profession. Provided you don't get bought and sold.
That's true. That's true. What about you, David?
I don't know. I kind of figured I would, but I was always considered bright as a child, so I probably would have been Mentat training.
Yeah.
I'd probably end up being one of those poor flying fish monsters on the spaceship that puke up teleportation rays.
Fuck, Brian.
Brian.
I'm thinking of the David Lynch movie.
I know you are.
I know you are.
A
movie so bad Patrick Stewart couldn't even save it.
It's right? Really good. The original Dune is very fun to watch, and some of the shots are amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's fun because of how goofy it is, but yes.
What about you, Brian? What would you be in that universe?
In Dune, like one of the mutant fish things that teleport the spaceships.
For real? That's your answer?
I mean,
he wants to be a member of the guild. Okay, fine.
If I was in the Dune universe, it's sort of like that sci-fi question. It's like, if you were in this crazy sci-fi universe, what would you be? Probably dead.
I mean, you're not wrong.
What was that thing that Duncan Idaho turned into where he got cloned over and over again?
Duncan didn't get cloned. What are you talking about?
I don't remember. I'm thinking of
like Way Ass Out and Children of Dune and Dune Messiah.
Oh, okay.
I only read the first three. I've only read
the first two.
You've only read the Frank Herbert stuff. You've never read the kids stuff.
No, Brian honestly, Herbert, I'm not all that interested in it. I've read a few synopses and I'm not all that
Honestly, I'd probably be one of the technicians on the freaking ship that's harvesting the spice.
I don't think so. I think
you'd be a spicer. Huh? All right.
Now, Erica thinks I'd be some manipulated prophecy by the Bene Gesserit that I'd be like the savior of some other planet.
No, you'd probably be a tech nerd sitting in a computer bank somewhere.
Yeah.
Nope. I have a totally different take on it.
What? Please enlighten us.
I think you would either be like Duncan Idaho because of how much you love messing with your wooden swords, or you would be a Fremen because of your very, like a leader of the Fremen, because you'd be like you're very religious.
I would, you know, what's funny is if I actually thought that I'd probably be in the Fremen because of my convictions. But I dismissed it for humor. So you're probably right. I could also imagine I might be the guy who like invents who's like tinkering with the shields to make it so they can deflect slow moving knives.
Oh, yeah, those are fun.
Because the only way to get through the shields is a slow moving knife.
Well, it's just slow moving, period. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but because the fast movements are blocked. Yeah, it's so awesome. And the visual for that in the original movie is so bad.
Did you know that the visual for that in the original movie was hand painted frame by frame?
Yes, it had to be because
they didn't have computer generation back then.
No, nope.
but they knew about computer generation and it was animated to look like computer generation.
Yeah, which is crazy when you think about it. But
yeah. Amazing. When they landed the ship on the planet, it was a giant miniature that was shot with forced perspective with real crowds of people, except for some Q-tips.
Sounds about right.
Q-tips are used for crowds of people in movies.
Oh, yeah. You remember the episode one, The Phantom Menace? The big, yeah, all Q-tips. It was a miniature model and Q-tips.
It is now Erica's turn to ask a trivia question.
What is the most realistic hacking movie in your opinion?
Ooh. It's not a movie. Well, movie would be Sneakers with Robert Redford and Dan Aykroyd and Sidney Poitier.
A great movie.
There isn't a lot of hacking as you would think. It's mostly social engineering. So yes, that one would be the most realistic. The most realistic like depiction of hacking has got to be Mr. Robot, because you could actually do the things they do on the show. Like my favorite thing they did was they hacked into a thermostat system by straight up going in the building and hooking up a Raspberry Pi to the thermostat system, which is how you would do that.
Yeah, that's true.
But probably in movies, Sneakers is probably the most realistic. And that's an old movie. It's a very good movie, but it's an old movie. I'm trying to think of the opposite, because the worst depiction of hacking is probably
Swordfish.
Yeah, I was going to say Hackers, but I don't think Hackers took itself very seriously.
Swordfish. I mean, he's literally getting a blowjob with a gun to his head, being told to hack into the FBI database.
Well, and the program he's using was like a 3D AutoCAD.
It was dumb. Yeah. Oh my God. Swordfish.
I mean, the movie had its
charms.
It was a good movie. It was good. It was fun to watch.
It had its charms.
Helicopter with a bus.
Halle Berry in her last nudity clause movie. She's like full topless in that scene for like 45 seconds. It's great.
I mean, you could. I think a lot of people that would argue that Hackers is the worst depiction of hacking, but I really don't think Hackers took itself seriously.
No, not much. And to be fair, at the time, that was kind of how you did it.
Well, there were some like actual depictions of hacking in that movie, but there was also the type as fast as you can.
Oh yeah, no, but still, it was done for comedic effect. But the techniques they were describing and talking about were generally
They talked about phone freaking, which I thought was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
With phone,
which apparently was really a thing.
You whistle into a phone to match the tones, and you can call anywhere for free,
making the phone think that it got paid.
And Sneakers had a character named Whistler, and that was why he was called Whistler.
Yeah.
Because he could duplicate phone tones.
There was also a time where you could trick arcades and vending machines with washers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You still can, like old newspaper machines. They sell like aluminum plugs.
There's a TikTok product right now that you can buy, and it's a fake quarter you can plug into a shopping cart at Aldi, so you don't have to have a quarter for the shopping cart.
Why wouldn't you just not use a fucking quarter? It's a quarter.
Well, the thing about Aldi is this is the dumbest. It's almost a scam, because at Aldi, they take all the stuff out of your cart and they like do this like cart swap thing. So you don't walk out with the cart you walked in with. So you're going to lose your fake quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's more just a TikTok gag / scam / send us money for something you don't need.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, I think Mr. Robot is probably the most, but in a movie, I think of Sneakers.
I don't know. I've actually taken the time to not let China get my information, so I don't use apps like that, because you might as well just mail them your info.
Any movie where they use social engineering instead of like breaking in with a hacking program is usually more realistic, because hacking programs aren't entertaining to watch in a movie, because if there are hacking programs, but hacking programs are brute force, where you push a button and then you walk away from the computer for 6 hours while it breaks a password.
Yep.
Yeah.
They actually did a pretty accurate depiction of it on an episode of Burn Notice. They have to pretend to be hackers, and they're actually doing like actual hacking, and it takes hours. I got a password hacker. It's going to take like 5 hours, so I'm going to go grab smoke.
I learned a very cool true thing watching Burn Notice for the first time, and I'll never forget the show because of it.
Bruce Campbell's awesome.
No, I knew that before that.
Fair.
You can walk anywhere with a clipboard and a badge and get in anywhere.
Just about, yeah.
It's so fucking true.
Mm-hmm. What's funny about that is it also applies to a ladder. you can pretty much walk into any place in work clothes carrying a ladder.
No one's going to, in fact, people are going to open the door for you.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, no, it's crazy. When I was a legal courier, it never ceased to amaze me the places I could leave my car for about 5 minutes and no one would give a shit.
Oh, I thought of another ridiculous hacking movie.
Huh.
The Italian Job.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was just terrible.
Seth Green on a laptop at the Union Station? No, come on.
Yeah, it's a good example of a depiction of a wizard in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Traffic lights don't work that way. That's all I'm saying.
No, they're on a timer and pressure plate.
Ooh, a realistic one. Jurassic Park. You didn't say the magic word.
That's true.
I've had it with this hacker shit. Please.
You know what is realistic about traffic lights? The Craft. Do you guys ever see that movie, The Craft?
No.
Really? Brian?
Yeah, I've seen it, but I don't remember.
Where they're driving in the car and they start blowing at the traffic lights and they turn green.
Oh, yeah, that works.
I still do that.
I do a little tap on the roof of my car. I've always had little superstitions about traffic lights.
Yep. Sorry, I thought that was funny.
I just ignore what color they are and just go. And
well, you said The Craft, and let me through,
so.
I don't think I've seen The Craft since it came out.
It's a fantastic movie.
I heard that the new one that came out recently wasn't bad.
Oh, no. I haven't seen it. Did you know they're remaking The Crow?
That doesn't surprise me. It's been long enough.
I don't think it's the first time.
No, it's not a sequel. They're remaking the original, which they hadn't done before.
I thought they made it with Eddie Furlong, though.
Mm-mm.
No,
they're like sequels. So anyways, guess who's gonna play Brandon Lee?
Who?
Bill Skarsgård.
Oh my God, I want to see that.
Interesting.
It's not even the right Skarsgård. He's not nearly as attractive as Brandon Lee. They should have picked the other one.
What if the other one didn't audition?
It doesn't matter. You still should have been like,
I would much rather it be Bill Skarsgård than anybody else.
All right, I like Bill Skarsgård.
Pennywise the clown playing the crow?
My point is, the crow is a masterpiece. It literally, like, from beginning to end, no notes. The soundtrack, beginning to end, no notes. It's just a perfect film. And if you're going to remake a perfect film, you better be on par with that film. And Brandon Lee was an incredibly attractive human being, where Bill Skarsgård is not really super attractive.
Why does his attractiveness matter in a character that wears face paint the entire time?
I don't think Bill Skarsgård's going to wear face paint in this. Oh, no, he is.
I mean, it's the character.
Now, listeners who can't see this on video, I'm about to share the picture of Bill Skarsgård as the crow. If I can find it. I found a picture, but it was like a weird link.
It was a Vanity Fair article that you probably saw.
Empire? Oh, here it is. I can share it.
Haha. If you'd like to see what Brian's going to share, you can get on our Patreon at patreon.com/nerdpodcastradio and watch the video of our episodes.
That's your one.
There he is.
I get it. I don't find anything wrong with it.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Brandon Lee was way more attractive.
I think he looks pretty cool. I mean, hell, that doesn't even look like Bill Skarsgård. They managed to push his eyes back into his head.
Anyways, don't love it.
All right, Brian, your turn.
All right. What is the best? Hold on, I got to make sure I have the actor name correct.
Ooh, excuse me.
What is the best line by Gary Oldman in any movie?
He's had some good ones.
I think there's one right answer to this one.
What is your opinion of the right answer to this?
Everyone!
That's definitely one of the better ones. He had a couple of good ones as Commissioner Gordon.
He's on a show on Apple TV right now that I gotta watch.
Nice.
What show?
Slow Horses.
Hmm.
I think it's about British spies.
I just got done British watching... spies. Your Honor. Have you guys, either of you, watched Your Honor?
Which one is that?
It has Bryan Cranston in it as a judge.
Yeah, I've seen some episodes of it.
Yeah.
I hadn't even heard of it.
It's really good.
It is pretty good.
The first season, there's only two seasons. The first season was really hard because I kept wanting to slap his son through the fucking TV. But once you get past that, it was hella good. And Bryan Cranston was, per usual, he's such a good fucking actor, man.
Oh, he's really good in everything. And yeah.
I got a question. I got another trivia question for you guys. This is another one of those personal ones.
Okay. What?
Being that I don't really know the answer to this anymore because I've kind of lost count, how many times have I seen Fight Club? Stop counting?
You said it was at least 350.
Yeah.
That was the last number I remember you saying.
I stopped paying attention, Brian.
I mean, I love Star Wars. I've probably seen that movie 50 times. I can't say I've seen it on 350.
Now, listeners, so you don't think I'm just some psychopath that watches the movie over and over again? I put it on in the background. He is.
You are a psychopath that watches the same movie over and over again. Which is what psychos do.
I don't know. I've put the scene with the goodbye horses from Silence of the Lambs and did the dance during the movie, so...
You're not helping your case. say less.
I've done it during the freaking Jay and Silent Bob thing when he did it, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I was fully clothed.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Dear God, man.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I think that's your comfort movie, Brian. I think it's just like you really like it and it's your comfort movie. It gives you the warm fuzzies.
It kind of started out as a joke because it was on HBO a lot and I would just have it on because I would flip through the channels and, you know, this was before streaming. I haven't really seen it since streaming has been a thing because I haven't bothered to put it on, but it just used to be because it was on all the time. And then when I got it on DVD, I used to put it on a lot and I've watched it with all the commentaries and stuff. What's funny is I'm not a line memorizer and I've seen that movie crazy amount of times and I can't quote it. I'm not one of those people that can do that.
See, I see a movie once and I can quote it. It's crazy.
I can quote the director's commentary of that movie, but I can't quote the lines in the movie.
Nice.
My memory is so fucking strange.
Now, when it comes to movies and stuff like that, my memory at times is almost photographic and I can actually replay entire scenes in my head.
Me too.
I get like that with role-playing games. I shocked my table the other day when the GM said, "Does anyone speak here speak Jotun?" And I said, "Buttercup can." And I said, "How'd you know that?" And I said, "Because we ran into a troll in our third game session, that you know, the one with the goblins, and Buttercup could speak Jotun." And everyone was like, "Holy crap."
Random obscure game knowledge. Yeah, I get that sometimes too.
I remember all their ability scores too. There's weird things that stick in my mind.
Mm.
When I'm a GM for home games, I don't do it on purpose, but I memorize everybody's character sheets.
See, and I memorize song lyrics and I memorize spooky lines and stuff like that. Like, and I don't try to, it just happens. And apparently it has rubbed up on Lee, because when we went and saw The Labyrinth, either I quote it too much, I watch it too much, and those things have rubbed up on her, or she loves it as much as I do, because she was sitting there.
The answer to all three of those is yes.
She was sitting there, like, as they were talking, saying the lines, and I'm like, shh, we're watching the movie. She's like, "I'm just enjoying it." I'm like, "I know, but other people want to hear them say it."
You should take her to a shadow play. I'm sure you can find a shadow play of Labyrinth.
Oh, probably.
Because then you're encouraged to shout out the lines.
Yeah. Oh, but it was a good time. It was a good time.
Ooh.
Oh, and the other one I watch for comfort is Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I love Lord of the Rings.
I haven't seen it since it came out.
Yeah. I haven't done it in a couple of years, but I would usually want one weekend a year just do the marathon.
See, that's what I did. I had a sad girl weekend in January, and it was really funny because it was a Saturday, and Chris came upstairs. He's like, "Hey, breakfast is ready." And I was like, "I'm having a sad girl weekend. I'm not leaving the bed. Can you bring me breakfast?" And I did. I stayed in bed and I started at The Hobbit and I went all the way through all the extended editions because those are the only ones I own. And I watched all of them the whole weekend. And then I felt better.
I have another Dune question, if you don't mind me taking another turn.
Go for it.
Yeah, this is actually a legit question about the books and the movies, because I'm curious.
Yerp.
Are the only aliens in the Dune universe the sandworms, or are the sandworms even aliens?
The sandworms are actually native to the planet, I believe.
They're not from Arrakis. They were moved there from somewhere else, but no one knows where they came from.
So in a way, they are then native to Arrakis, as you're never going to get all rid of them.
Well, and they didn't bring sandworms to Arrakis. They brought sand trout to Arrakis.
Whatever. There weren't people there originally. It was a planet of sand. The only reason
tropical. It was tropical. Turned into sand by the sand trout.
All right, fair, whatever. I haven't read that deep in, so.
No, it was tropical and then it became sand. Brian's right.
Okay, fair enough. Never mind.
Paul's son changes into a giant worm.
Yep.
Yeah, Dune books get bonkers after a while, don't they?
Well, it's what happens when the author dies.
Yeah, he wrote that shit. Leto II? That was Frank Herbert.
Okay. I don't think so.
He only wrote the first two, if memory serves.
First three,
excuse me. To Google.
I'm doing it.
If you'd like to watch Brian Google, that's patreon.com/nerdpodcastradio.
I said you got one, David.
God Emperor of Dune. Frank Herbert wrote that shit. Herbert wrote God Emperor of the Dune. That was not a Brian Herbert book. He wrote that shit where Leto II turns into a giant ass space worm.
Yeah, that's fucking weird.
It's fucking weird.
He covers himself with sand trout.
Mm, okay. So, Brian...
I have a non-spoiler question about the Dune Part 2.
Let someone else have a question first.
Fine.
Okay. You mentioned music earlier. What did you want to talk about with music?
Nothing specific. Sort of what we're doing now, but with just that topic.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure Tool would have come up at some point.
Do you want to hear something funny, speaking of music, today that happened?
Sure.
So my friend Nick sent me a Spotify playlist link. He was making a 90s playlist and he had like 80 songs on it. And he was like, "Hey, am I missing anything?" And I started looking through it and I sent him like three links immediately. And then I went, "Man, this is going to take too long." I was like, "You can either I can share my I don't have a 90s playlist. I have an Erica Random Radio playlist, which has like 3,000 songs on it.
Wow.
It's like whatever. If I like the song, I just add it to there and I hit shuffle and I just have my own radio station. So anyways, I was like, I can share my playlist with you or you can just add me to yours and I'll just add songs in there. So he added me to his and then it took me an hour and he went from 80 songs to 361.
Jesus, fuck.
Give us a sample of some of the songs you added.
Cumbersome, Cannonball, Plow, lots of Stone Temple Pilots, lots of REM, some Beck, Offspring, Foo Fighters. I mean, yeah. Days of the New, Bush, of course, a couple Nirvana.
Cannonball by who?
The Breeders.
Okay. Because as soon as you said Cannonball, my brain went, did it.
Semisonic, Fastball, Duncan Cheek, Marcy's Playground, Baruch Assault. This was either a great idea on his part or it was a terrible idea on his part. I told him, just remove anything you don't like. I was like, you don't ask a 40-year-old person to add stuff to a 90s playlist. It's going to go very poorly for you.
I don't know. It would have been. It's different if you have different takes and style of music. Like, I can think of some 90s bands that have nothing to do with alternative.
Well, no, I added some in there, too. I added some Bone Thugs and Harmony and Dre and some Toni Braxton. I added Annie Lennox, stuff like that.
You know what the best 90s music movie is?
Hmm.
The Crow, City of Angels. Where The Crow is more a celebration of 80s music, but The Crow, City of Angels has a lot of 90s music in it.
It is not. God, it's 90s music. You've got Nine Inch Nails in there. What the fuck are you talking about? Here we go.
Here's the track listing. Let's see if I have to eat something that the movie's named after. Okay, Burn by The Cure. Golgotha, Tenement, Abused by Machines of Love and Grace. Okay, those are both very 90s. Big Empty, Stone Temple Pilot, Dead Souls, Nine Inch Nails, Darkness, Rage Against the Machine. See, I'm remembering the music in the movie very differently than what's on this soundtrack.
That's the soundtrack, and it's a perfect soundtrack.
Oh, Pantera's on here. That's probably what I'm thinking of. That Violent Femmes song on the Crow soundtrack is my favorite one.
Which one?
The Color Me Once.
Oh, yeah.
It's very different kind of sound than most of their music.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. There's that Rollins Band song on there, and it's hard to think of Rollins Band as 90s, even though it is, because it sounds so punk rock 80s sound to it.
Well, I mean, The Crow was early 90s. There's going to be a lead.
Yeah. But I think there's more of a mid 90s kind of feel to the City of Angels soundtrack.
What's on the City of Angels soundtrack?
All right, hold up. Listeners don't have to listen to the pause while I Google. People watching the video can watch me looking at my phone.
I actually had the City of Angels soundtrack.
City of Angels or Crow City of Angels?
The movie City of Angels.
Oh, now we're talking about the Crow City of Angels, the sequel to The Crow.
Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, okay.
Who played the Crow in the sequel?
I don't know.
Yeah, he was Hispanic. I remember that.
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, you know what's funny is I was saying I was completely wrong because a lot of the music in the sequel soundtrack is from the 70s. Paper Dress by the Toadies, though. You can't get more 90s than that.
That's true. I added Toadies to that playlist, too.
I used to have the City of Angels soundtrack, too, David.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good soundtrack.
It was pretty good, yeah. I think my uncle.
Meg Ryan died in a very stupid way in that movie, but I mean,
yeah.
I've been to Mountain Towns. Doing what she did is really dumb. For context, she closes her eyes while riding a bicycle and lets go of the handlebars and gets hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where were we?
We're basically playing trivia, which is where we talk about whatever the fuck we want to.
Well, I just asked a question, so Erica, it's your turn.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, if you want to stick to music, feel free.
Or not, whatever.
Yeah.
What is a quintessential 90s song you would have made sure was on the playlist?
Quintessential 90s song.
Oh my God, don't make me choose. Fuck. Oh.
Quintessential 90s song. And it's any genre?
Yeah.
Been Caught Stealing by Jane's Addiction.
I did add that. Yeah. I love that song. David, what about you?
I want to list more, but I'll shut up. David's younger than we are.
Yes, I am. I got to figure out what the actual title of it is. One second.
All right. Well, he's doing that. Say some more, Brian.
I Want to Be 500 Miles.
Yep. I got that one.
Okay. Today, Smashing Pumpkins.
You mean tonight?
No, today is the greatest.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that song.
Oh, neither do I. I don't know why I picked it, but it is a 90. It is a quintessential 90s song. Oh, Black Hole Sun.
Black Hole Sun. Yeah, Black Hole Sun's on there. Yeah.
Did you put Jeremy on there? I wouldn't have put Jeremy on there. Oh, really? I think of that not as a quintessential 90s.
I put Jeremy on there. I put Black on there. I put Rearview Mirror on there. I put a lot of Pearl Jam.
See, growing up as young as I am, as a small child in the 90s, most of my radio listening was Radio Disney. And so my answer to a quintessential song from the 90s for me is Weird Al's Polka Your Eyes Out.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know what? When I was a little kid, I had a bunch of Weird Al albums. I mean, to really date myself, my first Weird Al album was Fat.
It's a good one.
I think my big, like, getting into Weird Al was the one that had Jurassic Park on it.
Yeah, Jurassic Park was fun.
I got nothing. Amish Paradise, I guess that could go on there.
Yeah, the 90s is good. I got another music question, but I want to wait for David to come back.
Do you want me to just read off some of the stuff I put on there?
Sure.
Okay. I'm sure this
Listeners,
is...
David walked away for a second. I indicated that he did kind of, but I didn't say it out loud.
Yeah, he did. All right. So there's Fastball the Way, Breakfast at Tiffany's, Closing Time, Mr. Jones, Runaway Train, She's So High, Only Want to Be With You, Learn to Fly, One Headlight, Drops of Jupiter, Slide, 3 a.m., Every Morning, Ironic, Hand in My Pocket, Hey Jealousy, Drive, Jumper, Daughter, Last Kiss, Love Fool, Fade Into You, Dreams by the Cranberries, There She Goes by the Lalas, If It Makes You Happy, You Give, Push, Better Man, Time, Let Her Cry, The Man Who Sold the World, About a Girl, Sex and Candy, Never Let You Go, How's It Going to Be, Wildflowers.
What's going on in my head while you're doing this is great, because you're rattling them off really fast, and my brain decided to play super fast, sped up versions of the songs every time you said a new song name, and I'm sitting there going, wow, she's going fast, and I'm like, I smell sex and candy here. Who's that laughing in my chair?
Yeah, I got No Doubt in here. Lots of Live. I've got Blur, 10,000 Maniacs, 311, Low by Cracker, Four Non-Blondes, of course, Alanis Morissette, Alice in Chains, Alien Ant Farm.
Did you do Butthole Surfers?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Blur.
both Butthole Surfers songs?
Yes.
David, we are talking about Pepper. And
yeah, I know the song.
I Had a Dream Last Night from Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good one too.
Yep. I got Barbie Girl in here, Bare Naked Ladies, Beastie
Classic.
Boys.
Classic.
Yeah, Beck, Ben Folds 5, Better Than Ezra, The Black Crows, Blackstreet, Blues Traveler, Bone Thugs and Harmony. The Breeders, Bryan Adams, Bush, Butthole Surfers, Candlebox, The Cardigans, Chris Isaac, Chumbawamba, Collective Soul, Color Me Bad, Julio.
Wow.
I love the third party D&D spell. So, Tub Thumpin'.
So in our bonus episode, Erica's going to continually rattle off 90s bands that she added to this playlist. But right now, I'm going to ask the question to be... I'm going to stick to the topic of music, and I want to ask the question to both of you.
What?
Is there a song that you can put headphones on, close your eyes, and play that song that will make you feel better if you don't feel great or you're in a bad mood? Or just ground you if you're anxious? If so, what is it?
Yes. Rhythm of the Night by DeBarge.
It's a good one. For me, it is a track called Finally Moving. It's a synth, lo-fi, kind of just groove track, and it helps calm me down sometimes. It's nice.
Oh, I have another one, Ventura Highway. That one calms me down, too.
Do you happen to know mine, Erica? I think I've told you before.
Yeah,
Not coming to me.
It's Electric Head Part 1 by White Zombie.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
I don't know why it relaxes me so much. Listeners, if you want to Google the song and listen to it, if you've never listened to it before, it's a very hard song, but it chills me out every time. I was having a bad day at work one day, like a really bad day. Like I was having trouble holding it together, bad day. And I put my headphones on, walked outside, sat down, closed my eyes, and just played the first thing that was on the music player. And it was that song. And I found myself just feel better.
That's good.
Ever since. And if I'm having a really, really anxious day and I'm not thinking about it, Heather will actually say, go listen to White Zombie.
Nice.
That's funny.
Other White Zombie songs will pump me up. For some reason, that song grounds me out.
Mm.
Yeah, I put Rob Zombie and White Zombie on that
I love
list.
How both of you guys shared completely and totally chill songs. Maybe I am a psychopath.
I guess my songs are chill. I don't know. Rhythm of the Night always just puts me in like a happy, playful mood. And Ventura Highway just like, it's like taking a deep breath. I don't know how to explain it.
Do you have a rainy day song?
I'm only happy when it rains.
David, rainy day song?
Rainy days usually when I hit the more lo-fi tracks, when I'm trying to stay up and doing stuff, I'll usually put on some dance music or some techno.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's a lot of stuff without words, just so, you know, I can focus on what I'm doing.
Rainy day for me is, I am still dreaming of your ghost, lonely and dreaming of the West Coast.
Everclear.
That's good.
I don't want to be your downtime.
I want to play your stupid games. Got my big black boots and an old suitcase.
That's enough. Let's not get struck.
I don't want to get struck, so...
You want to know what song I sing to the girls?
What?
During rainy days?
What?
If you can tell me the movie, I'm impressed. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's raining like magic. It's raining like starlight. It's raining like magic. It's raining life. The trees are all singing. The birds are rejoicing. It's raining like magic. It's raining life.
Is it The Village?
Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors.
No.
I have no idea.
Nope. Fern Gully.
Oh, okay.
Gosh, I saw Fern seen Gully that movie once. Since I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater once when I was like
it's a
four.
Hilarious movie.
I was like four.
Robin Williams and Tim Curry are in it.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Fucking hilarious.
I know. I've seen it. It was great.
I like watching it with my kids all the time.
I've only seen the live action version. For some reason, they changed the name to Avatar.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
I know, right?
Just wow.
Wow.
And on that disappointment, it's time to end.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look at that. Thank you both for compromising. And we basically covered all the topics, so that was kind of cool.
That's why I did it.
I have been Super Vegan Brian. I was joined by Kirstie Smurfarka.
Bye.
David, the genius who figured out the topic.
Bye.
This has been Nerd Podcast Radio. Stay nerdy, stay informed, and stay awesome.
Stay awesome. Awesome. Yeah.